I am excited to introduce you to our next guest. Her name is Sharon Smith Akinsanya. Now, many of you may have heard of her. She is the one that is totally responsible for the Crown Our Prince mural project. And if you have not seen this mural downtown Minneapolis across the street from First Avenue, you have got to go see it. It is absolutely stunning and so beautiful. Of course, Sharon Smith Akinsanya is the CEO of Ray McKenzie Group, and those that were also involved in making sure the Crown of Our Prince mural project comes to fruition is Joan Vorderbruggen, or Bruggen, forgive me, public art consultant, and the Prince Mural Project. They had one purpose, and that it was to see Prince recognized for his innumerable contributions to the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota, and celebrated for his life and living legacy. She knows because she knew him well. Welcome. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Geraldine. How are you? Doing well.
Hey, I'm doing well, Sharon. You must finally be sleeping because you put your whole heart and soul into this project. Tell us how it began.
Well, it began 7 years ago, Geraldine, 2015. Actually, Prince was still with us.
Yes.
And we were having conversations about how, you know, how can we give him his roses while he was still here? And so, and you know, Gerald, you know, Prince, he didn't have a whole bunch of words. You sort of kind of deduced, you know, things, you know, through conversation. And so, you know, over time, and even when I worked for him, you know, there were, you know, little comments and things like, you know, will anything ever shine purple in Minnesota? You know, that kind of stuff, you know. And then we would talk about the fact that there was, you know, no disrespect to Target, but, you know, there is a bronze Target dog inside of the Target Center. And
right.
And we do have, yeah, I'm just, you know, there's just things, you know, there's a statue of Mary Tyler Moore, who's a fictional character, you know, on Nicollet Mall, you know, there was just things that, and he would just mention those things. And then the Dylan mural happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we just started really kind of talking about, you know, what can we do to honor him while he was still alive? And we talked about different things, like, you know, maybe something on the over at the Commons Park, which wasn't the Commons Park then by the stadium, because that was still sort of in development. And we talked about maybe him, you know, programming the music from Paisley Park and kind of freaking people out as they sat in the, you know, park, you know.
Right.
All kinds of different ideas. And then, you know, then we lost him, you know. But we knew that he didn't want a statue because in his words, he says, they may mess up my face. And it's very difficult to get a face right on a statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that Prince was dressed to the nines and he always showed up, you know, on point. So the one thing that we knew was that his face was important. And that he did sanction a mural, you know, that would be, he would be okay with that. So we knew that. So I just moved forward, and I knew the best person to help with public art, who had just done the Dylan mural, and actually almost every mural in downtown Minneapolis, was my partner in crime on this, Joan Vorderbruggen. And so we went to Joan, and I said, listen, we've got to do this. And she agreed, and we just started tackling things. And I was very naive, Gerald, and I thought that, you know, I would just, you know, be able to go to the state of Minnesota and, you know, ask for $250,000 to get things going. And, you know, why would
Yeah, just a quarter of a million. It's no big deal, right? It's just amazing.
You know, well, I mean, you know, well, thinking about the revenue he's generated for the state, I thought it was, that was fair, right? I mean, he's done billions for us. I just needed $250,000. You know, to kick things off. And I was so naive to think that everybody would just want to do that. And of course, the legislator, they shot me down and I did not get the money. And so at that point, I knew it was going to be a struggle. And then we had the estate, you know, we had to get that piece together and get the family all on board. And they all came on board. But because there was no will, we took a minute because we had to get, you know, permission for name and likeness, right? You know, so there was things. And so,
right.
And we wanted to do it right, and we had to find a location. so much that happened, right? So,
right.
But we knew that we had to get it done, and we knew that Prince was sort of guiding this thing kind of along the way, because it was very difficult But we kept saying, you know, looking over our right shoulder and left shoulder, and nobody was really doing it. Well, not the people that should have been doing, you know, state officials mm-hmm. and things like that. And we're like, well, we can do it, you know. So I went to the Minneapolis Downtown Council and asked Steve Kramer and his crew if they would be the nonprofit partner. And, you know, so as we began to raise money, we would, you know, we needed some place for it to go, you know, and
right,
and get managed and that sort of thing. So, yeah, so they helped us out, which they were really awesome. So that's how it started. And then we finally had to find a location. And we thought it was going to be on the Coles stagecoach, across from the Dillon Mural, right across from mm-hmm. the light rail. We thought it was going to be on the back of the Coles. But I started to think about the parking lot adjacent to that building is privately owned. And so we couldn't convince the owner not to sell the property because we didn't want, you know, a development to come up over Prince.
Right.
And so unless we could get the parking lot and the building, it didn't make sense. Right. And so... Mm-hmm. We said, okay, it's not supposed to be there. And then one day Joan said, you know what, this needs to be a public work of art. This needs to be something that can never be defaced, that has to have an awesome maintenance package. We need to get guaranteed for 30 years. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to take us another 5 years to do that. But she was right. She was right. So we went and started talking to the Minnesota Department of Transportation, City of Minneapolis. And fortunately, they started to talk about how they wanted to beautify the downtown ramps and do different things because it was like they're just brown brick, right?
Right,
so
right.
So eventually, after a lot of discussion as to whether or not Prince should adorn one of those walls, we won out. And so the state of Minnesota and the city of Minneapolis donated Ramp A for the Prince Mural project, which we were very delighted.
Here's the thing. You haven't talked one thing about the challenges of it. You really didn't. You don't talk about the challenges because you succeeded, period. That's who you are, right? That's who you are. Once you get to success, it's like, why do I need to talk about that process? No. It's done. Yeah. And it is done. I finally saw it yesterday. Yesterday, I went to go see it, and I almost started, you know, I got a little choked up, just a little bit, you know, looking at it and seeing all of these iterations of Prince from the very bottom picture of him to the top. You just kind of, you just say to yourself, oh, my God, I was blessed to be, you know, to know him, to be a part of what he called his family.
To know him, that's right.
Yeah, to know him. That's so right. You were that person that he trusted with. I mean, you were at Glam Slam when it first opened. I think that's where I met you the first time. Here you are. You've accomplished
that's
it. People are raving about it. A lot of people came out to see it when it was unveiled. How in the world do you fill up after all that you gave in energy, brain trust, frustration, all of it? How do you fill up now?
I think that we got to keep the party moving. I think we should have Prince Rogers Nelson Airport.
And go. Wait till I tell Javita that.
I think we need to be flying into PRN. I just think he's given so much. I think we keep the party moving. You know, just like he told us, and be true funk soldiers and just keep going. That's what I think. You know, so I hope that what we've done with the Prince Mural Project, and then, you know, we renamed the street Prince Rogers Nelson Way in between.
Which I love it. I love that.
700 Black and 4th Avenue. So, you know, why not continue, you know, as we think about the revenue that has been, that he's given us. And I think everybody's heard me say this, you know, Prince was born here, he lived here, he died here. He could have lived anywhere else in the world, but he chose us, Sterling.
Yeah, he
stayed. And that says something. He stayed. That says something because he could walk around and be himself. We've heard him say that before.
Mm-hmm.
And he's generated billions of dollars in revenue and tourism for this state. And I just think we should continue to say thank you and honor him. And so that's what's next. And I'm just very excited that we were able to do this. And everybody felt amazing being down there at the block party. And, you know, Doctors Mambo Combo, they jammed it, you know, and DJ Mickey Breeze, he was on the, on the ones and twos, as it were. And we just had a good time, you know, Prince's family. And, you know, we said a few words and we unveiled it.
And when that was all done, you unveiled it. Everybody went home. Did you leave town?
I did. I went for a few days to North Carolina just to relax a little bit with my girlfriend. you know, just to get a change of scenery, get myself there back together. But I'm here now, and I'm going to be ready to hit it, you know, tomorrow morning on with the next big thing, right? But, Geraldine, here's what I learned. Perseverance. See, you can't take no from somebody who can't say yes. And we have to keep moving, and we have to have each other's back. I'm so glad that I was in a position with Joan to have Prince's back. The cavalry is not coming. We must save ourselves. So here you are.
You are very clear. You were very clear from day one on this. You had the absolute faith. You were ready to get out and walk, run, or fly to make this work. And that's something that is missing in so many Minnesotans. A lot of that is missing in us. But then we see things like this come to fruition, and there's hope. You know, there's hope for what you did. Right. And so as you watch others that are trying to move forward with other murals or other things that will honor those that we know and love in this great state. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big stuff. The thing you've taught me and watching you do this and talking to you intermittently and figuring out that you may have been upset in one moment, but all the rest of the moments were absolute joy. You know what I mean? And that one moment could really hurt. It can cut you deep. But all of a sudden you remember, no, this is why I'm doing this, and you keep going forward. This is how success happens. And you have that story. So tell me the book that you're writing. I know you are. Come on. I know you are. I know you are. Come on.
It's called The Bold You. And that's the new book that I'm writing, because I think that we all have to learn to be bolder, and we got to stay off the sidelines. We have to push our chairs all the way up to the table. Sometimes you know how you sit on a chair and your butt kind of hanging a little bit off.
Right.
I want your whole behind in the whole chair. Scoot it all up. Push it all the way up to the table so you can be seen and be heard. So sometimes we have to be bold and radical to be able to make real change. And so I want to teach people how to get that inner boldness, because you already have it. It's just that we've been taught, you know, how to be just a tad bit, you know, deferential and, you know, a little bit corporate and, you know, this sort of thing. So I just want everybody to channel their inner boldness, because we really don't have time for those of us who can get things done to sit on the sidelines. I need you in the army.
Well, I just want you to know that I am so grateful. I am so grateful for what you and how do you pronounce her last name?
Joan Vorderbruggen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the two of you working together, as well as others. My final question is, who was the artist that painted that? Tell me about him or her.
Jairo Vega is a graffiti artist from Miami. And he was one of 60, he was in a pool of 60 artists that Joan had curated from her public arts friends, you know, and experts across the nation. And so we started off with a pool of 60, and then we narrowed it down to 10. And then the family and members of the estate, close friends and collaborators, were part of the Prince Mural Selection Committee. And they helped us narrow that 10. They interviewed that 10, and they helped us narrow that 10 down to 3. Jairo was still in the 10. He made the 3. And then the 3 had the opportunity to turn the tables and interview the family to learn more about Prince, tell their stories, ask questions. And then we were able to give them a stipend to come back, do the designs. And then the family members took a look at which design they wanted, and Jairo won unanimously.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you can tell him how grateful we are, but I am one of those that would love to talk to him and tell him how beautiful it is. It is absolutely stunning. I love it. Love it. Love it. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let me tell you something, honey. This is big. It's huge. And we honor that tonight right here on Still Talking. Thank you, my friend. Well done.
Thank you for having me, Geraldine. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. My goodness. All right, everyone, as we wrap up this hour, just remember, you got to go and see this. It is right on the corner of 1st and 7th. You just have to see it right across from the doors of 1st Avenue. It is just remarkable.